Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We begin on the very second line, Kuf Yud Gimel Lomit Aleph, continuing our discussion about various advice that various great Torah personalities gave to their children or to the Talmid. The Gemara begins. The gears that we have is V'Amarle, it says on the side it should be Amarle. V'Amarle Rav L'Rav Asi. Amarle Rav L'Rav Asi. Rav told his great Talmud Rav Asi, Lo Todor B'Masa, do not live in a city. The Lo Tsonif Basusya, that doesn't have the sound of horses that are neighing in that city. The reason for this, we'll see, is because this will scare off the robbers. As the Rashbam says, Klomar She'ein Basus, the reason why you shouldn't live in a city that doesn't have a horse, Mishum Dehave Nitirusa Dekarta, because they will help protect the city. It'll be safe, Miganve, from Ganovim. Because if a robber were to come there, the people who have horses, Lirdof Acharem, Lutovsan, will be able to go run after them and catch them. And some of the robbers didn't have horses, so if the city has the sound of horses, the robbers will steer clear to another city. So therefore, it's a good protection for the city. So Rav told his Talmud Rav Asi, don't go and live in a city that doesn't have this protection. Lo sodu b'masa de lo tzonif basusya. Furthermore, he says, Lo novach b'kalba, you should have dogs in the city, because if you don't have the sound of dogs barking, so then the ganavim also will go and attack that city, because they won't be concerned that the dogs are going to sniff them out and bark and let the people know that the robbers are there and they can attack the robbers. That's why he says, we left Mitzrayim, it says that no dog barked that night. It was a tremendous miracle. Nobody ever left Mitzrayim. One of the reasons why was because the dogs would bark if there ever was anything going on. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that not even one dog barked that night. Okay. Then it says, Al Todor Be'ir Derei Shemasa Asya, and don't go and live in a city that the head of that city, the person in charge of that city, is a doctor. The Rashbam explains, the Rashbam's a little bit out of order. So on the first line in the Rashbam, he says that Asya means Rofe, a doctor. Why? He's going to be busy in his practice. He's going to be busy taking care of patients. And he won't have time to go take care of the needs of the city. Rashi over here, in the second line at the top from the Rashis, he says, some had the gears over here, not it was Asya, but it was the Talmud Chacham, which we had previously as well. And both of them, it's the same reason. The Talmud Chacham is going to be busy with learning, the doctor is going to be busy with his practice, and the city is going to be neglected. So Rav told Rav Asi, don't live in such a city. Then he also told him, Lotin Sov Tarti, don't have two wives at the same time. Don't get married to two women. And the Rashbam explains, Shelo Tisyatzena Alecha Ra, because they're going to plan together to do things that may not be in your best interest. Because the two of them, if there's something that they're unhappy about, they're going to gang up on you. So it'll be two against one. However, he says, if you're going to go marry two, they're going to marry a third at the same time. In Isavit Tarte, if you go marry two, find yourself a third wife, Nesiv Tlas. And this way, as the Rashbam explains, Shim Tisyat Sen no Hashtaim, if the two of them gang up, Hashlish is Megalloch. It's unlikely that all three of them will be in cahoots against you. So if one of them hears that the other two are ganging up against you, she'll come and tell you. Amalei Rav Rav Kahana, Rav told another one of his Talmidim Rav Kahana the following. It would be much better for you to go work doing this degrading work of taking care of nevelos. Go and flip around the nevelos, the dead animals. It's a very difficult type of a job, not a very high class job. It's a menial job. Much better that you flip those things around, rather than you're getting involved in all sorts of types of jobs. The Ben Yehuda says it's much better to do this very crude work rather than to go do this fancy work where you're constantly having to lie and cheat. You have to flip around your words. So it's much better to be in a less prestigious type of a job that's an honest, hard day's work, rather than to go and work with all sorts of fancy people, but you're ending up having to do all sorts of shenanigans. That's lo tepok b'mili. Don't flip around your words. Likewise, he says, pshot neve losa b'shoka, much better that you should go and strip, flay animals in the marketplace, again, a menial type of difficult job, ushkilagra, and get paid for it, make an honest salary for it, because there's nothing wrong doing nice, hard work. Manual labor is fine. It's not against your dignity to go and do such work. He says, make an honest living. Lotema, rather than saying, oh, Kahana na. Now he was telling this to Rav Kahana, so it's a play on the words. They say, oh, I'm Rabbi Kahana. I can't go and do this. Kahana na, Vagava Rabba na. I'm a great person, and it's below my dignity. The son, Yabi Bilson. It's hated to me to do such things. So that's an inappropriate attitude. A person shouldn't be afraid to go and do hard work and make an honest day's salary, even though it's the more menial type of work, more of a less prestigious type of a work, rather than saying, well, that's below my dignity, I can't do such things. Now, Tosfos brings down that he already explained earlier in the Masechta on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis that Rav Kahana wasn't a Kohen. So it doesn't mean to say, oh, I'm a Kohen, I'm in the priestly class. It just meant that I'm a Choshev guy. Rav told him, don't say that a person shouldn't say that I'm too Choshev to go do a manual labor, a less prestigious type of a job. Furthermore, Rav told Rav Kahana, when you go up to the roof, Salakta Le'igra, when you're going up to the room, Shirut Shobadoch, even though you're not really going far away, take food with you. Never leave your house, so to say, without having food with you. You never know what's going to happen. You could be in a situation where you're going to not have access to food, so always go with food with you. This is the Marco. Whenever you go on a holiday trip, to take along the kitchen sink with you, to take along a ton of food with you. Neya Kari, he says, even if you have 100 Kari, 100 gourds in your possession in the city, Bimasa, and even though it's only costing a zuza, in other words, food is relatively inexpensive, nevertheless, if you find food, tose kinofer nehevi, that you still should always have food with you. In other words, don't go and leave yourself taking a chance that you won't have food. As Rashi says over here, even if the food is relatively inexpensive, afilu b'hamzonos bezol, you can get food relatively cheaply. Afal pikein hotziyam imach, always take food with you. Don't say, well, I'll be able to get it very easily on the way. Rabbeinu Chananel has a slightly different twist on this. He says, even if you can get 100 of these gourds, of these kori, in the city for a very small amount of money, for a zuz, but v'nizdamin l'cho kro basodeh, and you nevertheless find one in the field, al tizalzo bo, don't say, it's only a gourd. Elo haviyo b'yodecha, go bring it back. You know, don't be satisfied that you got 100, so if you can get 101, food is very important. Then he tells him further, Omale Rav Lechia Berei. Rav is going to tell some of his son's advice now. First he told his Talmid, Rav Asi, Rav Kahana, and now he tells his son Chia. He's soon going to tell his son Evo. So, Omale Rav Lechia Berei. Rav tells his son Chia, Lo Tishtei Sama. Don't do drugs. An amazing statement. I use this line in the Gemara many times when I talk to people about all sorts of nebuch vices that they may have with alcohol or marijuana or other drugs. So Rav, this was prevalent even in his day, that he had to tell his son, warn him, don't take lo tishte sama. Listen to what Rashi says over here. Rashbam says, al tishte samim, don't go and drink these drugs, don't take these drugs. Because they're going to addict you. You're going to need them on a regular basis. And your heart is going to constantly want these drugs. You're going to lose money. He says, even if you're doing it for medicinal purposes, don't take them unless it's absolutely necessary. And certainly, if you can get better with some other way, don't take these drugs. It's very, very dangerous for you. That's the pshat that the Rashbam has. Rashi adds, and he says that whenever you're taking a medication, it always has side effects. So he says, "Lote rogil lishto samonim." Don't take these medications, because we have a general statement that kol mile de male lahai koshel hai. Because even though it may be beneficial for this part of your body, but it potentially can hurt another part of your body. Only Kodesh Baruch Hu is the perfect healer. When doctors heal, so they don't necessarily always heal in a perfect manner. They may get you better, but the drug has side effects. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's drugs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's healing has no side effects. Then the Gemara says, he tells his son Chia furthermore, Velo Tishvar Nigra. He says, don't jump over a stream. Rashbam says, Psiogasa. No, tell us miori naim. He says, running in this fashion, jumping in this fashion can hurt your eyesight. As we have elsewhere, that says it takes away 1/500th of your eyesight. Why would somebody do this? So Rashbam points out that people would sometimes take shortcuts, and they would do these shortcuts by jumping from one area to another area. They have to jump over these streams. So he said, don't do this. It's potentially dangerous. Likewise, he says, v'lo ta'akor kocha. He says, don't pull out your teeth. Rashbam says, this is shein. Mamish, this is talking about actually taking out your teeth. Mishum choli shesofa terape. They didn't have much intensive dentistry in those days, so for tooth hurt, they would pull the tooth out. The cure was worse than the disease, because the tooth, he says, is going to get better. But once you take out the tooth, then you're never going to get that tooth better and back again. Then he says, lotekani bechivra, don't act up and instigate against the snake. Chivra is a snake. Don't make a snake, so to say, jealous of you. In other words, don't instigate to start up with a snake. Likewise, lo tekani barmo, and don't start up with these certain Arameans, because it's not going to end up well for you. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, Shlosh Ein Miskanben, three people, or three types of creatures, you shouldn't go and instigate them. Elohein, what are these three? Nachri Katan, a young Gentile child, the Nachrish Katan, and a young snake, the Talmud Katan, the young Talmud. Why not? My time, what's the reasoning behind all of them? So the Gemara says, the Mahusayu Achare Udnayu Koi, because guess what? They're all going to grow up and become older Nachri, older Nachash, older Talmud Chacham. And if you started up with them when they were younger, if you instigated against them when they were younger, they're going to want revenge, and they're going to come back against you. And therefore, you have to be very careful that you don't make enemies at a young age. You don't want these people, the snake or the two people, the Nachri Katan or the Talmud Katan, when they grow up and they become a Moshel, let's say the Nachri becomes the ruler, he's going to remember. You find many times stories that you have leaders amongst the Jewish world that are Chasdei Umos Olam. And that's, they said, well, when I was the Shabbos guy as a young boy, they treated me so nicely. Find many stories like that. Or people in the Shoah that they treated some guy nicely, and then they became a Nazi, that guy. But they had a certain kindness towards one family that was very nice to them. And the same thing with the Talmud Chacham. If you're constantly poking fun or instigating this young Talmud Chacham, so someday he may be a greater Talmud Chacham than you, and you don't want to be in a position where he's now going to be your Rebbe, and he's going to remember the way you treated him. The Ben Yehuda specifies over here that it says that they're going to have Udnayu, their ears, that they're going to grow up, and they're going to remember what they heard, so to say. And the Ben Yehuda says that's because specifically hearing is passive. You can't control what you hear. You don't have to, like with eyes, you have to look someplace. With other sense of touch, you have to go and actually touch it. The ears, they hear no matter what. So that's why it uses this expression, because they're going to grow up no matter what, and it's going to be trouble for you. Mara then tells us what Rav told his other son, Ivo. He tells him, Amale Rav, Ivo Bre. Now, Chia, his son, we have throughout Shas, as being a big Talmud Chacham, but he didn't have the same success with his son Ivo in terms of being a Talmud Chacham. So Tor Chibach Bishmaita, I tried teaching you and teaching you and teaching you, but unfortunately you're not going to be a Talmud Chacham. So he said, fine. So Tor Agbaroch Milidiyama. I think this is one of the most important statements here. Rav saw his son wasn't cut out to do a certain type of work, even though that's Avodas HaKodesh, to be a Talmud Chacham. So he said, okay, I'll get you a job. I'll teach you a profession. I'll teach you a secular profession that you should be an Erlich HaYid. That's the most important thing. So therefore, I will go and teach you merely the Alma. What we would normally say is the ways of the word of the world, the words of the world. In other words, I'll teach you a secular profession. I'll teach you business, ethics, and principles. However, the Ben Yehuda disagrees. And the Ben Yehuda says that this is all allegorical. And he actually taught him Torah, although he called it Mile di Alma. And he goes through all of this, these various Rimazim and the Musar that he's giving him. But in any event, we'll just learn it like the simple Pshat. So he tells him, Adecholo Akarech, when you still have the sand, Cholo is sand, Akarech on your feet. In other words, you're just coming in the house from a business trip, Zavinoch Zabin. Go quickly sell the merchandise that you purchased on the business trip. Get the merchandise out of your possession, sell it as fast as you can, don't let it sit, don't be lazy. When you're selling stuff that you own, so you're always going to be concerned that you could get a better price if you held on to it a little bit longer. So whenever you sell something, he says, you should be careful about it because you're going to potentially regret later on if you said, if I'd only waited another week, the prices went up. Or this is now a very valuable thing. It's much better to hold on to it. So with everything, when you sell it, you should be concerned that maybe it's going to go up in price and that you have to be careful how you sell things, with one exception, bar mecharme, except for wine. The zavim lo sarit. Whenever you sell wine, be happy about it, because wine can spoil. In other words, he was telling him, when you ever have something that might have the potential to go down in value, so then don't be upset if it went up in value afterwards. You sold it, you did the right thing. Then he tells him, Shirei Kisach, when you're doing a transaction with somebody, first take the money from the person, open up your wallet, and have them give you the money for the item, and then Pesach Sakoch, and then only afterwards open up the doors to your storehouse and go and give them the product. Open up your basket, your sock, your sack, and go give them the item that they purchased. In other words, take the money first, because when they owe you money, you're not sure that you're going to definitely get it. Then he tells him further, Kaba me'ara v'lokur me'igra. It's better to make your business near your house from the ground rather than much more. A kab is a small amount. A kur is 30 saw. A saw is 6 kab. So even though you can make much, much more profit farther away from your house, better than be close to your house. So kaba me'ara is better to have only a kab's worth from the ground right near you, Lokura Miigra, rather than having to go all the way up to the roof, and even though you make much more profit up there, kur is 180 times as much as a kav. There are 180 kavs in one kur. Again, a kav is 6 kav in one saw, and there are 30 saw in a kur. So it's 6 times 30. So even though you're going to make a 180 times as much, so nevertheless, better to be close to home. Then he tells him, Tamra bechaluzoch lebeis sudno roit. If you're dealing with making beer out of dates, so as soon as you get a little bit of dates, go and take care of making it into beer so it shouldn't spoil, shouldn't get lost. The Rashbam says you may come to eat it. Rashbam explains, Amar lasos b'hem shekel, quickly go make from beer for them, because shim tamsin, if you wait, you can eat your profits. Ubenkach tasin, and you're gonna, the dates are worth much less as dates than they are as beer. So as soon as you get a small amount, quickly take it to the person who's gonna make it into beer. Sell it to him as soon as you can. That comma, how much is it considered enough that you should now go and sell it? So Amar Rava said, at losa saw, even if you have only 3 saws worth of these dates, that's enough that it's worthwhile to make your trip to the beer maker and go sell them your dates. Amar Papa, now we have some advice about beer making from 2 of the Amoraim that were well known for making beer, Rav Papa and Rav Chista. So Amar Papa, Rav Papa said, Ilo Duramai Shichri, if it wasn't for the fact that I made beer, I'm a beer producer, if it wasn't for that, Lo Itatri, I would not have become as rich as I did. Others say that it was Rav Chista who said the statement. Amar Rav Chista, if it wasn't for the fact that I make beer, lo i'atri, I wouldn't have become as rich as I did. Now, both Rav Papa and Rav Chista were sudna. Sudna is a person who makes beer. So the Gemara asks, where did this word sudna comes from? My sudna. So Amar Rav Chista said, sod noy, an acronym for this combination of sod noya, a secret that is very, very nice. And why is that? Because Ugmilas Hasadim, not only do you make a nice profit from it, but gives you an opportunity as you're a wealthy person that you can do lots of Ugmilas Hasadim. As the Rashbam says, Yochol Loseis Hemeno Laniyim, you can give some of this beer to poor people, Lasos Miyam Tztaka, and do Tztaka with this, Bechesed, and other sorts of generous activities because you're a rich person. Shari Ein Ba Karen Godel. It doesn't take a lot to go buy dates, but by taking the relatively inexpensive dates and selling it for more expensive beer, you can make a very nice profit. And in addition to supporting yourself, you can also do lots of gvilas chasodim with it. Furthermore, Amar Papa called Agav Kviya Boy. If you have money that is owed to you, you have a bill that is outstanding, so then make sure you go and collect it. This can be sometimes difficult to do. Rashbam explains, if you have to write a document on something, you can go milva, some sort of a loan that you gave out to somebody, or of amana, or other types of business transactions, so gav your boy, you have to go collect on it. So don't count that as money in the bank just because you have an IOU from somebody. You're going to need and go and collect it. Then he said, indeed, whenever you go and sell something to somebody on credit, so sometimes you're going to get it, and sometimes you're not going to get it. And even if you do get it, udaase, when it comes to you, most roast, you know, sometimes it's not going to come in with great money, it's going to come in with less than stellar coins. Their money was actually worth the weight of the precious metal that it was, and a coin wasn't like today, every quarter is worth the same, every dollar bill is worth the same. No, their coins were different, so sometimes you get paid with a zuz, but it will be a lousy zuz, and it's not so easily transferable to other people. Then the Gemara says, Shloshu Dvarim, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishuman Shi Yerushalayim. We're going to have a number of statements from Aroyim that they said over, and the underlying factor behind them is all of them use 3 at the beginning, then we'll have some that have more statements in them, 4, 5, 6, 7. So Shloshu Dvarim, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishuman Shi Yerushalayim. Rav Yochanan said, over the name of the great people of Yerushalayim, Rav Yochanan was the Gadol HaDor in Eretz Yisrael, first generation of Aroyim. So he said over the things that the great wise sages of Yerushalayim had said before him. Kishati Yosel Mechoma, when you go out to battle, Al Teitze Barishona, El Teitze Bachorona, don't be in the front lines, it's obviously much more dangerous there. Kidei Shetikonis Barishona, so this way, if you have to, unfortunately, flee the battle, as the Rashbam explains, in case your side loses and you have to run away, you'll be able to get back home first. Now, the Ein Elio says that this shouldn't be understood in the straight, literal way, that it's telling us here, he says on an allegorical basis, that even if you're not the first person to get rich with something, so you'll still get rich by being the second person, the later person on. You don't have to always try to be the first one to do something. He says you can sometimes delay, and you'll also be able to make a profit from it. Again, the simple understanding is that if you go out to battle first, then you're more at risk. Then he says something that we had previously, Vasei Shabbat Chachol V'Altitztarech L'Brios, it's much better to go and not borrow money from other people for your Shabbos needs, and rather have it as a regular day, because you don't want to be dependent upon other people for tzedakah and things like that. And we had that previously and discussed in great detail, so we'll go weiter. So we had this as well. If somebody's doing well, try to be with him, try to either partner with him, or at least, as we had said, even just do business dealings with him, because if he's doing well, anybody who's doing business with him will also do well. Furthermore, now some have the Girsa Amar Rav, others don't have the Girsa. In any event, Shlosha Dvarim Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Mishuman Shushlaim. Another statement, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi also was earlier than even Rabbi Yochanan, and he said as follows: Al Tarbe Beganos. Some have the Girsa Begagos Mishum Maisa Shoya. Don't go and be out in the gardens because of a Maisa Shoya. What's this Maisa Shoya? So the Rashbam brings down the famous story of David and Bathsheba. And he tells us, Vayar, he saw Isha Rochatzas Me'al HaGag. He was out in his garden, and he saw her on the roof. The Rabbeinu Chananel says he has the Girsa Gagos, and he says the Maisa was David Ola Al HaGag. David went up to his rooftop, and he saw Bathsheba. She was bathing, and therefore that caused all these troubles. So he says, don't spend your time out there, because you're not going to be in a tzenua position, and therefore it can lead to trouble. So do things in private that should be done in private rather than doing them either in the gardens or on the rooftops because of the tremendous difficulties that occurred with David HaMelech and Bathsheba because of that. Again, the Gemara also tells us that David HaMelech did not sin, but in some way he did something wrong. And the Yetzer Hara there, the stories in the Gemara, they talk about this, so they tell us that David HaMelech was almost like forced to look in that direction. He shot an arrow at a bird, and it pushed the curtain away that she was behind. And in any event, one should be careful. Al tarbe, one should be careful with certain things because of a lack of tznius and improper things you may look at when you're outdoors like that. Then the Gemara continues. He tells us, Rishu Belay says the second thing, Bitcho Bogra, as soon as your daughter gets old enough, Shachar Abdecha, if you can't find the Shidduch for her, it's even worthwhile to go and free your Eved Kenani, who now will become a Yid, and Tainla, that she should be married rather than her not getting married. And likewise, you should be careful that your wife doesn't spend too much time with your first son-in-law, because there's a natural attraction between the son-in-law and your wife, right? He just married your daughter, and your daughter is Mistama, very similar to your wife, so there may be a natural attraction there, and Rachmanu Litzlan could lead to terrible, terrible, terrible problems. Such as, my taima, what problems? Rav Chis Damar, the obvious, Mishum Erva, because Rachmanu Litzlan, there should be a sexual connection between them, and could lead to terrible adultery and terrible, terrible situation. Rav Kahana Amar, Mishum Mamo, no, she's going to want to give him all her money, so that her daughter will be well taken care of. So that's also a reason to be careful. And the Gemara says, Hava is doing. Both of them are correct. It's not like one is correct and the other one's wrong. Both Rav Chisda, Mishum Erva, and Rav Kahana, Mishum Mamon, are both things to be concerned about. Now the Gemara tells us, from Rav Yochanan, another statement from Rav Yochanan, three things. Shlosha minochle olam haba. There are three people that will be definitely people who will be zocha to have olam haba. Who are these three? Elohein, Hador be'Eretz Yisrael. Oh, unbelievable zuchus of somebody living in Eretz Yisrael. You know, maybe for most of us, the first time in our lives, we can't go to Eretz Yisrael right now. It's something that we can't comprehend. You just can't get on a flight and go to Eretz Yisrael, be there 12 hours later. It's an amazing disappointment for us not to be able to go to Eretz Yisrael. So the great people who live in Eretz Yisrael, they're definitely zocher to Olam Haba. Number two, if a person raises his children to be Tamidi Chachamim, he sends his kids to the yeshiva, he pays all that tuition, he hires tutors for them, he teaches them Torah, and he raises them to be Tamidi Chachamim, so then that person is Ochel Yolam Abba. And the third one is interesting, that you save wine for Matzi Shabbos. You could have drunk up all the wine on Shabbos and then made it on beer or made it on Chmar Medina. So if a person delays his gratification and he says, I have wine, like Tosa says over here, he saves some wine for Avdullah. He doesn't say, I need to be gratified right now, but I'll push off my gratification. I thought that was an underlying theme over here. A person lives in Eretz Yisrael sometimes has a harder life than maybe living in Chutz La'aretz. Certainly in the olden days, to go to Eretz Yisrael was was not a guaranteed income there. It was very difficult to make an income at the start of Medinas Yisrael or the period of time from the 1900s and on. A lot of people went there to Yisrael and they were starving. So they delayed their gratification. Likewise, if you're Megadol Bonim Talmud Torah, so he's not going to have a huge salary working for some company or business. So he's delaying his gratification. So all of these are delaying their gratification. HaKadosh Baruch Hu very much likes a person who's always looking towards Olam Haba, and therefore these people are going to be Zocha to Olam Haba. Now, the last statement over here about making Havdalah on Matzi Shabbos on wine, Mahi, what is exactly? The Mishayim Mikidush Ali Havdalah, as I pointed out, is he leaves over some of the Kiddush for Havdalah. I also mentioned multiple times how important it is to go and make Kiddush on wine and to make Havdalah on wine, at least grape juice. Grape juice is normally considered like wine, maybe the possible exception of the Dalit Kosis, where you need the aspect of Cheris as well. You need some alcohol in it, but certainly, as opposed to using Chamar Medina, it's certainly preferable to make Havdalah on wine. Okay, now we have another statement from Rav Yochanan. Amar Rav Yochanan, Shlosha Machriz Aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chol Yom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu announces about these people every day. Now, the Sefer Ein Elio also brings down that this is every day, because all of these three people do things B'tzina. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, pronounces and proclaims how great they are every single day. Person should not think that his good deeds go unnoticed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu notices them every day. And what are these three people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so happy he announces about them every single day? Al Ravoch, about a bachelor, Hador Bikrach, who lives in the city, the Enochote, and he has many opportunities to sin with women, and he doesn't. So that's a tough nisayon. So therefore, this person is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaims every day that he's a big tzaddik. Likewise, Val Oni, Hamachzir Avedel Baleha, a poor person, Nebuch, he's struggling to make a living, and he finds a very expensive thing from somebody, and it has the guy's name inside the expensive Rolex watch that he finds. And instead of selling it, the Oni goes and returns it. Now, you know, he gets a $20 tip for returning it, but he just had a $5,000-$10,000 watch. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so proud, and he announces every day, look at my Oni, that he was Machzir and Aveda, even though he desperately needs it. And likewise, Val Oshir, about a rich person, Hamaaser Peiroso, of Bitsina. This is basically saying the rich person gave a huge donation, he takes off all of his Trumas of Mises and gives them without making a big fanfare about it. So he does it Bitsina, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu announces every day, so to say, such a person is a great person. All of these people, they went against their natural grain. A bachelor, a young guy, has certain desires, and he's able to overcome them. A poor person has desires for some money. He finally gets some, and he returns it. And likewise, the rich person would like to have the kavod. He wants to have a big plaque, a big dinner in his honor, saying, look how much money I gave. Look at all the things that I did good. And he doesn't do so. So each of them is going against their natural tendency. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so proud of this, he announces it every day. Rav Safra, Ravok, Hador B'Krachaba. So Rav Safra heard this, and he was a bachelor who was living in the city. And Tani Tana Kamei Derava Rav Safra. One time they were learning what we just learned, and this Amora said over this Brisa in front of Rav and Rav Safra. It's not clear that it's a Brisa. It was really Rav Yochanan who said this, so some suggested it wasn't a Brisa and have a different gears here. Others say, no, that it really was a Brisa, not that Rav Yochanan said it himself. In any event, Tzavu part of the Rav Safra. Rav Safra was so happy when he heard that HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaims every day that you're a tzaddik if you're a bachelor living in the city and you don't sin. So Rav Safra, as we just said, was a bachelor living in the city and he didn't sin. So Tzavu part of him, his face lit up. And Amar lo Rava. So Rava tells him, not you. You're not talking about you. Lav kagon mar. A guy sitting in the base medrash at the Lakewood Kollel in Williamsburg. So such a person, he's a bachelor living in the city, but that's not that they're referring to. You're sitting in the Dalet Amos in the base medrash. You're not really putting yourself at risk every day. He knows putting himself at risk that they're a bachelor living in the city, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaims every day that the great tzaddikim, Ella Kagon. We're talking here about people like Rabbi Hanina and Rav Hoshaya. What was special about them? The Havu Ushkafe, they were shoemakers, the Arad Yisrael, who lived in Eretz Yisrael. And guess what their main source of income was? They made the shoes for the prostitutes. For Vuyasve Bishuka de Zonos. Their store or their business came from making shoes for the Nebuch, the prostitutes. The Abdelhu Misani Lizonos. And that's what they did. They made shoes for the Zonos in the marketplace of the Zonos. And the Zonos would constantly come into their store. Inu Mistaklibahu, the Zonos would look at them. However, Rabbi Hanina and Rav Hoshaya were such holy people, they never looked back. They didn't even lift up their eyes up from their shoemaking. They just concentrated on their shoemaking, and they didn't look at the Zonos. That's the Ravok who lives in the city that HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaims every day. Look how great these people are. Look how holy they are. Umumsayu Hachi, and the Zonas over here, when they would make a Shvuah, Mumsayu, their Lashon of Shvuah, when they would make a Shvuah, was as follows. So Rashbam says, Shvuah Lehem, their oath, when they would swear something, I swear, so they wouldn't swear by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They would say, B'chayehen Rabbanun Kadishe Debar Yisrael. They would swear by these holy rabbis, because they saw in them, different than their clients, they saw the way their clients treated them, and they saw the way these rabbis treated them with unbelievable Kedusha, and therefore they swore by the holy rabbis of Eretz Yisrael. That's the type of ravach, a bachelor that's living in the city, that is zochet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaiming every day what a tzaddik he is. Some even have the story even stronger, that they actually had to put the shoes on the zonos to try them on, and yet they didn't in any way do something inappropriate. Then the more continues, Shlosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avon, there are three people, especially HaKadosh Baruch Hu, loves them very much. Who are these three people? These are three people, as we'll see, that go against the grain as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically tests the person all the time with the things that he naturally wants to do. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to purify a person and make them go against their natural tendencies and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this way. So Misha Enu Koes, a person who could be angry, but he doesn't get angry. There's a reason, you know, something happened that would make him angry, and he doesn't get angry. That is an unbelievable trait to have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves such a person. Misha Enu Mishtaker, somebody who doesn't get drunk. You know, wine is nice. People like to drink a nice glass of wine. People like to drink 2 or 3 or 10 glasses of wine, and they get drunk. We had the story earlier, the person who drank 16 glasses of wine, up till then, he was able to keep his mind straight. But after that, he became a drunk. So somebody who could drink and doesn't, somebody has the opportunity, the money, to go and buy fancy drinks and doesn't become a drunk. So Mishenu Mishtaker, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves such a person. And the third one, Mishenu Mamid Amidosav. Elsewhere we use the expression, Mishamavir Amidosav. If somebody, again, goes against his natural tendency, somebody insults you, the natural tendency is to insult them back. So it says, if somebody's mavir amidosav, or he doesn't stand on principle, you know, mavir amidosav, oh, you did this to me, I'm going to do this to you. So if somebody is not doing that, and he looks the other way, so therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves such a person. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he judges you, so if a person does things that sometimes aren't so good, but you are also very tolerant towards other people, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, you're tolerant towards other people. They insulted you, and you didn't insult them back. No, so you insulted me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but I'm not going to punish you back, because that's your personality. Now the Gemara says there are three, unfortunately, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like. Shlosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu sonen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like these people. He hates these people. Number one, Hamadaber Echa B'Peh V'Echa B'Lev, a person who speaks out of both sides of his mouth. In other words, he doesn't say what's on his mind. So it says by the Shvatim, when they were upset with Yosef, so it says, V'lo yachlu dabro l'shalom. They couldn't be two-faced. They couldn't say, oh, Yosef, we love you so much, when they really hated him. They told him to his face, we don't like what you're doing. So person should not have two different things, what's in his heart and what's in his mouth. It should be the same thing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like somebody who has one thing that he says, Echa B'Peh, but he thinks something else in his heart, Echa B'Lev. Number two, Vayodei Eidus B'Chaveiro Eidom Eidlo. The person knows that, you know, Reuven lent Shimon money, but, you know, I don't have time to go testify. He's going to be upset with me that I testified against him. Ah, better not say anything. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like that. That makes a person very, very hated in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number three, if somebody sees somebody doing something wrong from a sexual point of view, he sees them doing some sort of inappropriate relationship, and he's only an Eid Echad, and he goes and tattles on the person. Now, an Eid Echad has zero ability to do anything when it comes to these immoral types of things. An Eid Echad could maybe cause a shvu and a business dealing, but here, if you go and testify that so-and-so did some Arias, he did something inappropriate, so it has zero impact. You need two people to go and be made. So therefore, you accomplish nothing by being made as a single person on the Dvar Erva. And Maisa Shahaya, to show you the strength of this, there was a person by the name of Tuvia who Nebuch did a sin, some sort of immorality, but also Zigud and his friend Zigud came by himself, Luchudei, Va'asid, Bei, Kamei, Rapapa. He went to Rapapa's based in, and he testified that Tuvia did something terrible. How did Rapapa react? You know what Rapapa did? Not Dele Zigud. He gave Zigud, the one who testified against Tuvia, he gave him Malkus. And it's a play on the word Zigud. Nagdi Zigud. So Zigud's upset. So Amalei, Zigud says to Rapapa, Tuvia Chota, V'Zigud, Mingad, Tuvia, he got the sin, and I'm the one that gets the lashes? And Rapapa says, yeah. Taka, that's the way it is. Amalei, in, because that's correct, because d'chsiv, lo yokom eidech abish, because a single person cannot testify in regards to the dini arayis against somebody else. And therefore, vat l'chutach isad isbei, And therefore, Shem Rambi Alma Kom Afkis Bey. All you're intending on doing was selling his reputation because it had no practical impact. So you should have shut up and not said anything, because by bringing it forward like this, all you did was try to ruin him from a reputation point of view and didn't accomplish anything other than Moshi Shemra. Even if it's true, you had no right to go and do this. The Eretz Tzvi brings down a very interesting idea. He says, since Zigut spoke Lashon Hara about Tuvia, so the rule is, when you speak Lashon Hara about somebody else, so you get their sins. So therefore, Zigut got the sins of Tuvia, and therefore, since Tuvia actually deserved to get lashes, but since Zigut spoke Lashon Hara about him, had no purpose, no tachlis in this situation, so therefore, he got his sins, and therefore, he got what he deserved, which was to get the Malkus de Rabbanon, to get the lashes that Rav Papa gave him. Amr Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Amr Rav, Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak said in the Rav, Mutul is no so. However, when you see somebody doing something immoral, you have the halachic right to go and hate such a person for the immorality that he did. So that you can do. You shouldn't certainly say this person's a good person. He did something terrible, but you can't take your actions as a single witness to any act of accomplishment in the Beis Din. So, but you are allowed to go and say this person did something immoral and is permitted to actually hate such a person. And where do we see this from? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, when you go see your enemy's donkey, that a person that you do not like, and you see it, the enemy's donkey is underneath a heavy burden. So you have to go and take off that burden. Now, why does it say chamor sonacha? Right? Masone. What does it mean that you hate the person? Ile masone nokri. If you're talking here about that it's a guy who's persecuting you, Vatanya, sone shamru, sone so. No, the pasuk we learned in the Braisa is talking about chamor sonacha, a Yiddisha person that you hate. Lo soni nakwi, and not a goyisha presa that you hate. El pshita soni so. So it's talking about a soni so. Now, who gave you permission to go hate somebody? After all, the apostle says, you're not allowed to go hate your fellow Jew. How are you allowed to go hate this guy? Ella, what must it be? There must be two witnesses that came along and testified that this guy's a Russia, and therefore you're allowed to go and hate a Russia. But then, why would it be called your enemy, your person that you hate? Kuli alma, nami misne sonile. If two people came along and testified against him, he's a Russia, so then everybody's hated him. Why is it only called your person that you hate? Maishnahai. So why is this guy chamor sonacha, the one that you hate? So Gemara says, elalad, mustn't it be? Ki hai gavna. Our case where you as a edechot saw him do a sin of erva, and the chazi be'iu dvar erva, and since you had no ability to go and do something about it in the basin because you're just an edechot, this is the chamor sonacha that we're talking about. Not only are you allowed to, he says, it's a mitzvah to go and hate this person in this way. Based upon the pasuk, it says in Mishlei, Shenemar, Yiras Hashem. Now the word that we have is sone, but it says on the side it should be sinos ra. And the Marsha points out that the word sinos is loshon yachid, and it means that only you know that he did this sin. Nobody else knows that he does a sin, and nevertheless it says that you're allowed to hate such a person. Now, I would point out that we're really hating the sin of the person. Elsewhere, it tells us that don't hate the person, hate the sin that he did. And you should try to be makari with the person. We always push away with the left hand, and we makari with the right hand. So it doesn't mean that you should do things to this person, but you should realize that what he did is wrong, and you should hate what he did, not so much him. He is now so na'acha. But if he were to do tshuva, if you could encourage him to become a better person, so then you bring him back with love. Amar Ravacha, b'rei the Rav l'Ravashi. Ravacha, who was the son of Rav, said to Ravashi, "Ma'u l'meimra le'le rabbe l'misnaye." What about going and telling this person's rebbe, or some say your rebbe, about this person's actions as the tachlis, as a way to maybe get this person to do tshuva? Are you allowed to do that? So Gemara says, "Amar le, I yoda d'mehemen l'rabbe k'vetrei." If the rebbe knows that you're a trustworthy person and he would trust you as if you were to aid him, so then lemele, then you're allowed to go and tell him. However, if the Rebbe doesn't necessarily know you so well, or doesn't think that you're the most trustworthy person in the world, below, if he doesn't accept you like you were two witnesses, so then in that situation, don't tell him. Below, if he doesn't think you're so trustworthy, lo lemele, then you don't have the right to tell him. More continues, Tana Rabban will learn the Braisa, Shlosha Chayein Eino Chayim. Three people here that have something intrinsically going on with them, in their character. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that their life isn't worth living. Why is that? Because this character trait that we're talking about is going to ruin their life. What are these people? Surprisingly, harachmanin, somebody who is overly harachman. He's nice to other people to a fault, that he can't live like that. it says a doctor that, you know, Rechman Lusan, an oncologist, that loses patients, Nebuch, to cancer. So he can't let everyone get to him so much, or else he can't function. He has to have some sort of a distance. So if a person is too much of a Rachman, he can't live a life like that. If you feel the pain of every single person as if it was to you, okay, so one person has a certain amount of pain, but if there are millions of people that have pain and you're taking that all upon yourself, it's impossible to live. So if somebody is too much of a Rachman, people that get too easily angered, so every little thing makes you angry. So what type of life is that? Oh man, I can't believe he did this to me. Oh, I can't believe he did this to me. It's a terrible life. And likewise, Vanini Adas, somebody who is a mafunuk, somebody who's a very delicate type of a person, that every little thing bothers him. So you can't live a life like that. All these people, chayeyem, einon chayim. Now, Tosus points out over here that elsewhere we brought down that Gimel, three people, chayeyem, einon chayim, that their life isn't worth living, and we said that it's not these three things. And then we said, somebody's always looking, oh, what am I going to take over for that guy? What am I going to take over for that guy? Somebody's in an unhappy marriage. And somebody has physical pain on his body. So how come Tosus says these three that he just brings down here in Tosus aren't mentioned by a Gemara, or vice versa? So he points out that there's a difference. These are character traits that we're dealing with over here. And previously we're dealing with things that are external on that person. He wants that thing that other guy has. His wife is giving him a hard time. Or that this physical suffering that he's having, it's coming from an outside source, so to say, as opposed to these are character traits. That's why these are mentioned and not the other three. Fine. Rabbi Yosef said, Nebuch, I have all of these character traits inside of me. I'm constantly fighting against these three character traits. Tana Rabbanan, the Brisa says, Shlosha Sodom Zezeh. There are three creatures that they hate each other. Elohim, what are these three? Haklovim, dogs are always fighting with each other. The dog's food is very sparse, it says, and therefore the Mestam, they're always fighting each other. Wild dogs are always fighting each other. Vatarnagolim, and chickens are also constantly fighting each other for the limited food that they have in the chicken coop. The Chabarin are a certain group of people that were living in Persia or near Persia, and they were very, very bad people. They were gangsters. They were not good people. So they're constantly fighting with each other. There's no honor amongst the thieves, and therefore they were difficult, tough people, and they're constantly fighting with each other, just like the dogs and the chickens. Some add to these three, v'yeshomrim, afazonos. Even the prostitutes, they're fighting with each other. They're all looking for business, and, you know, a person wants to get the business, rahmana litzlan, so they're fighting with each other. They should be the one that gets the business. Furthermore, v'yeshomrim and others add, af tamidei chachamim shebavavol. The nature of the tamidei chachamim bavavol is they're constantly fighting with each other. As they're learning together, they're yelling at each other, right? You walk into the base medrash, the din is amazing. So, you idiot, you don't know what Tosus is saying. No, you don't know what Tosus is saying. So, that was the nature of fighting in bavavol. Gemara elsewhere tells us in Eretz Yisrael, they were much more kind to each other. And the Gemara never concludes which way is better. Certainly, that's very nice. That's an interesting pshat you have in Tosus. Oh, I have a little bit of different way of looking at it. So, each can accomplish tremendous things. Each one has to learn. Every Talmud relationship sometimes can be a very loving one, and that would be better for the Talmud. And sometimes you need somebody telling you that, no, you don't know what you're doing. And that's the better relationship. That will spur the Talmud to be a better Talmud Chacham. Then the Gemara says, Tanur Rabban, we learn another Braisa, Shlosh Avim Zezeh. There are three people that naturally are very close to each other. They love each other very much. Elohein, Hagerim, people that are converts. They tend to realize they all are in the same boat. They all have the same issues that they're facing. And therefore, they tend to be very close with each other. Likewise, Avodim, they all have the same issues. For Orvin, and also ravens. The ravens are known to be very kind to each other. They're very not kind to other animals. Then the Gemara tells us, the Braisa says, Arba ein adas sovalton. There are four things that it's incomprehensible how these people can do what they're doing. Eluhain, what is this? What are these four people? Dal, a poor person who's gay, who's haughty. What in the world are you haughty about? You're a poor person. It's very hard to understand. For Ashir Mechachesh, and a rich person that fights every little, the guy says, I owe you $5. No, I'm taking you to court. I don't owe you $5. He's a rich guy. It's not worth it. He'll spend 10 times as much on the lawyers to defend the case. It doesn't make any sense. For Ashir Mechachesh, a rich person that's denying that he owes money when he really owes it. Vizaki Minayev, an older person that can't control his lust and his desires, and he commits adultery. An older person, normally his sexual desires are somewhat quiet. So here, this guy probably doesn't have such strong sexual desires, and yet he goes and commits adultery. It's like Tzalahachas he's doing this. It doesn't make any sense. And finally, the fourth one, Uparnes, the leader of the Tzibor, is known as the Parnas, he's Mizgal Atzibur. He lords over the Tzibur, Bechinim, for no reason whatsoever. He insists that they do certain things just for his honor, just for no purpose whatsoever. So it doesn't make any sense. The person who's the Parnas for the Tzibur should be looking out for the Tzibur. Instead, he's only looking out for himself. That's the four that the Brisa mentions. V'yeshom, some add on, Afet Megari Sishisto, Par Mishono, Par Mishniya, Ushniya Machzira. A person divorces his wife and then takes her back. Now, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't do something like this. And the Gemara says that in this situation, there's a reason for doing so. Now, why did this only the Yesh Omrim say this? Why didn't the Tanakhama say this? The Tanakhama, he says, sometimes it's appropriate to take your wife back. For example, Zimna, the Ksubasa Maruba, she had a very, very high Ksuba, and he divorced her thinking he could pay it. And now he realizes he can't pay it, so he takes her back. And this way, he takes her back with the original Ksuba, but he doesn't have to pay it. Alternatively, Inami, Yeshlo Banim Himena, they have children together, but Lo Motzi Megarshlo, and he can't live without her. He sees that it's really best for the children if they stay together, So that's what this Brisa concludes. Now the Brisa says, Chamisha Dvarim Tzivo Kanan Isminov, Kanan told his children these five things. And again, we're not interested in what Kanan tells his son. What we're interested over here in learning out what we should be careful about. If Kanan tells his sons to do certain things, so one should be careful about this. So some of them are good. Evu Zezeh, he says you should be close with each other. Evu Segozel, but he also tells them to love Geneva, love robbery, love Gezela, and Evu Esazima, and love immorality. And Vesinu Esadonechem, and always fight against the people that are your masters, the Adon of you, the Altidabu Emes, and always be careful not to tell the truth. So these are traits that Kanan told his children. We have to be careful. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. We have to obviously be very careful with this type of advice. Gemara continues, says, Shisha Dvarim Nemar Bisus. There's six things that it said about horses. Number one, Oivis is Nus. They're very promiscuous animals. Number two, Vovis Amuchoma. They like to go to battle. The horses were like the tanks of the olden days. The Rucho Gasa, it's a haughty type of an animal. It's an arrogant type of an animal. Umoes is Hashena. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that the Sus doesn't sleep very much. It takes 60 neshimos, 60 like breaths of sleep. That's all that it needs. Actually has a number of halachal ma'aser ramifications in terms of how much sleep brings about a ruach tuma on a person at nighttime. Does it require netilas yadayim? So there are actually some halachal ma'aser ramifications of that concept that Moeses Sashina doesn't sleep a lot. V'yochel harbi, it eats a lot, umotzi kima, but it doesn't put out a lot of waste. It has a relatively small amount of excrement for the amount of intake that it has. And finally, v'yeshomim, some also add, af mevakish larog ba'olabim mucham. When it goes out of battle, so it, we said it likes to go to battle, and when it's in battle, it sometimes will want to go and kill the person riding on it because it's going to be promiscuous and it's going to want to go do other things other than going to fight. Gemara continues and says, Shiva menudin l'shamayim. The Raisa tells us that there are seven people that are in Nidoy. Nidoy is a type of cherem, a type of excommunication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who are these seven? Eluhain. Yehudi she'en loisha, a man that doesn't take upon himself a wife. Again, if you can't find, he can't find. But if a person is osek, trying to find, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mad at him. But if a guy says, nah, I don't need to get a wife, so then such a person is considered in cherem from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Likewise, the sheish lo isha vein lo bottom. If a man has a wife but he doesn't have children, obviously we're not talking about where he tries to have children and he can't. That's totally up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As Tosus points out, near davka aide pshiyoso, we're only talking here that he doesn't have children because he intentionally doesn't have children. Sheino masasi with peri v'ribi, he doesn't have relations with the wife or they use birth control in a way that doesn't allow them to have children. So in this situation, it's obviously talking about somebody who intentionally doesn't want to have children. But again, Rav Moshe Feinstein's Atzal brings down that somebody who tries to have children and just isn't zochet to have children, so that person is called Osek B'Piri V'Rivya, and of course that person is considered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a totally positive way. So those are the first two, Ein Lo'ishav, Ein Lo'banim. Number three, Mishesh Lo'banim, he has children, Vein Magadim Talmud Torah. He doesn't teach his children Torah. He teaches his children, unfortunately, the wrong things. So that person is also considered in Chayim. Mishe Ein Lo Tfilin, Birosho, Utfilin, Bizarro. Person doesn't put on Tfilin. He has again. All of these, Tosus points out, he has all of them, but he doesn't use them. So therefore, such a person is considered excommunicated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number five, the Tzitzis Bevigdo. Person has a garment, a four-cornered garment, and he doesn't put tzitzis on, or he specifically doesn't try to wear a four-cornered garment. Today, the meaning is that we always wear a four-cornered garment, a talis katan. We go out of our way to go and wear such a garment that is obligated in tzitzis. So this person has such a garment, he doesn't wear it. Number six, umezuzah bepischo. He has a doorway that should have a mezuzah on it, and he bedavka doesn't go put a mezuzah on the doorway. He's declaring that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't watch over this house. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not involved over here. So that person is in nidui. And finally, number seven, v'moneah min olam miragav. If somebody doesn't put on shoes, so that person is also doing kineged what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and he is considered in Nidoy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We spoke previously about the importance of a person not walking barefoot. Now, Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabba bar Rab Chana, Amar Rab Shmuel bar Marta, Amar Rab Mishum Rav Yosi. That's the Girsa that we have, Rav Yosi Ish Hotzel. Now, in a moment, we're going to say that this is really Rav Yosef. In any event, Minayin She'ein Shoalin Bil Chaldeim. How do you know you're not supposed to go and ask astrologers? The Chaldeim are the people that were able to say certain things about the future by looking at the stars. There's a certain kayach there. This is not like the astrologers of today that you have in the newspapers that is just garbage. So there really was a certain kayach that these Chaldeim had. So you're not supposed to go and use them to divine things for the future. Shenema, the pasuk says, Tomin tiyem Hashem lekecha. A person should be straightforward, a tam, right? When they have the seder, the four sons, so the tam, so that's considered by many to be a partner with the chacham, that he is a person who is a straightforward, honored person. Yaakov ish tam, Yoshev oholim. So, tomim tiyem Hashem lekecha, you should act in a proper way with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a simple, plain, straightforward way with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not use all sorts of divination and astrology to go figure out what's going on. And how do we know that if a person has a friend who's even greater than him, even one thing, you have to treat him with respect for that one thing that he's your Rebbe, for the one thing that he knows more than you. Because the pasuk tells us from Daniel, when Daniel was appointed to be the Secretary of State, the lead person to Daryavish, so it says, Shenemar, ki kovel be ruach yatirabe. He saw that he had a ruach chokhma, an extra ruach yisera, an extra chokhma, umalka asisla kamusei al komachus, and he appointed him over all the other offices. So therefore, you see that if a person is smarter than somebody else, then he has to have a certain covet attached to that, even if it's only in one area. And finally, Yosheves Adam Tar Asur L'Shamish. If a woman is previously having what we call Dam Tar, we don't have this today, Lamaisa, but after the birth of a boy or after the birth of the girl, there's a certain period of time of Tumah. For a boy, there's 7 days of Tumah. For the girl, there's 14 days of Tumah. This is the mother having Tumah after giving birth to such a child. And then there's Yemei Tara. So for the boy, it's a 33-day period of time that the mother is Tahora, even though she may be having blood. And for the girl, it's twice as much. Just like the tumah is twice as much, the tahara is twice as much. The 60-day period of time, you may tahara. Even if she sees blood during that period of time, she's considered tahora. So what this is telling us over here, in the name of Rav Yosef Ish Hutzal, so he tells us that if the woman is at the conclusion of that period of time, at the end of the 40-day period of time, the 7 plus 33, or the 14 plus 66, at the end of the 80-day period of time, so that day she was Tahora, so that night on the 41st night, or on the 81st night, she no longer is allowed to have relations with her husband if she sees blood. That blood now is going to be Dam, that is Tmeya. So therefore, that night, the 41st night or the 81st night, she should be careful not to have relations with the husband. She should be Yosheves al Dam Tor Asur L'Shamish, because the concern is that she'll not realize that she no longer is in a period of Yemei Tahara, where any blood that she sees is not a problem. Here it would be a problem, so therefore, stay away. Now, how long do you have to stay away? Ad Kama. So Amar Rav, one Ona, one period of time, which is normally a 12-hour period of time. Tana, we learned in the Braisa further, who Yosef Ish Hutzel, this person, this Rav Yosef Ish Hutzel, he was known as Yosef Ish Hutzel, who's also who Yosef Abadli, he's also known as Yosef Abadli, he's also known as who Isi ben Gur Aryeh, he's also known as who Isi ben Yehuda, who Isi ben Gamliel, who Isi ben Mahalel. He had a number of different names. These were like aliases that he had. He was constantly on the run from the government, so he had many different names at many different times. What was his real name? Mashmo, Isi ben Akavya Shemo. His real name was Isi ben Akavya. Similarly, we have the similar idea with Rabbi Yitzchak. The Rabbi Yitzchak that we have is who Rabbi Yitzchak ben Tavlahu, who Rabbi Yitzchak ben Hachakla, who Rabbi Yitzchak ben Ilah. We find this name Rabbi Yitzchak, it is often the same person, just under different pseudonyms. And we delete the words who at the end. Now, when the Gemara tells us, when we have a Shmaisu, when we have a Halacha, then it's Rabbi Yitzchak ben Acha de Shmaisu. When we're dealing with a statement made in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, and it's a shmaisa, it's a halacha, so then it's dealing with Rabbi Yitzchak ben Acha. When we're dealing with an agadita type of a statement, then it's Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas, the agadita. He's going to be the Rabbi Yitzchak, it's Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas, if it's dealing with a statement related to agadita. And how do you remember which one is which? So he says, v'simonech, there's a pasuk that you can use. Now the pasuk that we have is Shimuna Achai V'Reyai, and the play is on the word Acha is Achai, and Shimu is Shmaisa, so therefore remember that Rav Acha, Rav Yitzchak ben Acha, is the one that's associated with the Shmaisa. However, on the side it says it's a different pasuk actually, it should be Shimuni Achai V'Ami. In any event, it's the same idea, the same drush here, the same mnemonic that the word ben acha is alluded to by achai, and the shmaisasa, the halacha, is alluded to by words shimu. Finally, Gemara concludes, Amar Rabba bar Barchana, Amar Yochanan Mishmei, the Rabbi Huda, the Rabbi Loi. He says the following, Echol botzel, v'shei botzel. It's a good thing to eat an onion and then go and sit in the tzel. So play on the word botzel and tzel, botzel, botzel. So that's a good idea. The Rashbam explains, Echol botzel or yirokos, when eating an onion or vegetables, it's good to sit, v'teshev botzel be'secha, sit in the shade of your house afterwards, v'al titztarech limkor be'secha. And this way you won't end up being impoverished and have to sell your house. Again, why there is such a connection, that remains unknown. Then he tells us further, don't go and eat a goose or a chicken, a geese or chickens, because if you get used to eating such fancy foods, so then it's like the addiction that we said before, you become addicted to it, you become needing it, and it's a very expensive habit to have. Rashbam explains, you're going to have a bigger appetite. If you get used to these foods, you're going to constantly want more of them. Again, this is the addiction idea. Then he tells us, you should try to minimize how much you eat and drink, and use your money instead to purchase real estate, to go and build up your house. That's a much better usage of your money. When Ula came up from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said, we have a famous axiom that we say over in Eretz Yisrael, the ochil al yisa, if you go and eat the fatty tail, so toshi ba'al yosa, you're going to have to go hide yourself away in your attic. A play on the word al yosa and al yosa, that if a person gets into these expensive habits, that he's used to eating this fatty food, this fatty meats that are very expensive, they're going to put him into poorhouse, and he's going to have many creditors, and he's going to have to hide from all the people that he owes money to up in his attic. However, the ochil kokule, if somebody goes and eats kokule or vegetables, inexpensive foods, akilkali, the masa shochev, he could even go and sit, a play on the word kakuli, which is the vegetables, and akilkali is the ashba, is the dump, the city dump, which is, again, a very public area, so such a person that minimizes his expenses for food, so he's not going to have a lot of creditors, so he can be in public, and nobody is going to be running after him. He doesn't have to hide from all of his creditors, he can even be in a public domain. This concludes this fascinating few days of Gemara that is very esoteric and deep and Kabbalistic in nature, which we don't fully understand, but certainly very interesting. Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we get back to talking about the Seder and Hilchos Pesach till the end of the Masechta. Thank you for listening.